to the Uncensored Week in Sports special Christmas Day edition. I want to wish everyone a happy holidays and then go about the business of skewering some people. I'm feeling a little bit chippy today. So even though it's a holiday type of vibe, my desire is to go take a few people to task here. And we'll see. Maybe we'll be joined by some callers and chatters, so this is not my usual time. My usual show time is designated as Sunday, 7 Eastern time, and I'm working on being a little more reliable with that. And if I'm not there at 7, I'll try to open the chat room to let you know what's going on. So, I wanted to go back in time for the beginning of this and take a look at Philadelphia Eagles and Bryant Westbrook and the heads-up play he made last week to down the ball at the 1-yard line instead of scoring a touchdown. And we now know that his offensive lineman had a lot to do with that, too, by reminding him before the play that's the savvy move to make in that situation. And, you know, give him credit, he made the play and then down the ball. And I think the reason I have been thinking about that play ever since is because it sort of represents to me two sides of how you can look at modern sports. On the one hand, you got people who just love that kind of smart, clutch, athletic play, and that's why we watch sports. I mean, to me, more than anything else, I watch sports for moments like that, where someone with a selfless, you know, on thinking on their feet moment does something on behalf of the team that really makes you appreciate how it is that you go out in there and win against whatever adversary you're facing. But, so that's the camp that I'm in. I'm in the camp of watch that play over and over again on my VCR, can't get enough of that kind of thing, might be the best play of the year, that kind of thing. But then you got the fantasy geek. Now, the fantasy geek is angry at Bryant Westbrook because Bryant almost got them a touchdown, man, but he screwed them over at the last minute. Damn it. My team didn't win. My fantasy team got hurt because of Bryant Westbrook. I got to get him off my team. See, to me, that's everything that's wrong with sports today. That's just how I feel. Like, the imposition of stats on the broadcast and just the obsession with individual statistics and how that relates to how athletes play the game, I just think it's really disappointing. And so that's my thing about sports, and I think, you know, it is possible to appreciate both. I mean, I think there are some people who are avid fantasy players who also can really enjoy a clutch performance. But to me, there really is oftentimes two camps in modern sports life. And the challenge that sports face is dealing with both, and obviously they're catering to the fantasy and gambling crowd because that's where the money is. So, once again, we have people getting obsessed about the fact that Bryant Westbrook didn't score their team a touchdown in their, so they lost their fantasy matchup that week. So, looking at some other issues that are of concern to me this week, we've got the NFL playoffs rapidly approaching. Are the Pats going to go 19-0? I think it's possible. We do know that the NFC is a stronger conference this year. So last year, it was part of the agony of watching the Colts beat the Pats in the championship game was knowing that they were going to roll over the Bears. You knew the Bears weren't going to give the Pats or Colts a game. And this year, I'm not so sure. I think whoever comes out of the NFC should be a pretty good competitor. Now, you know, they in theory, I don't think they'll be as good as the AFC team, but they'll be able to give them a game, and in a one-and-done format like that, they could even win. I don't know that you can say any of the NFC teams are prohibitive favorites right now. They all seem to have their major flaws. But whoever comes out of the NFC is going to be a good team. They're going to give the AFC contender a good game. In the meantime, you have a number of AFC teams that are going to beat up on each other and maybe are better than all the teams in the NFC, but that's just not how it flows. So a team like Jacksonville might have rolled all the way through the NFC playoffs, but they happen to be in the AFC. You got a team like the Chargers that might be as good as any NFC team right now, the way they're playing. They're in the AFC also. So you got a bunch of good matchups in the AFC. Realistically speaking, I do think the Pats could be beaten. I personally think the Colts are as good as the Patriots, maybe even a little bit better. I don't think you can totally look at the records. It just all depends on the injury scenarios. I mean, the Pats lost Colvin, but the Colts lost Freeney, and Freeney's an even bigger loss, I think. But still, I think the Colts can really give the Pats a game. At the same time, the people that think the Pats can't run the ball, I'm not sure they know what they're talking about either. We definitely have people on the team that can run, and I think Maroney proved that in the last game also. So, yeah, the Pats can certainly be beaten. I don't think they're a dominant, undefeated team. At the same time, you know, people who think, well, they've been exposed with all these weaknesses the last couple weeks, I don't think that's correct either. I think you have to make them the favorites, but I put the Colts right about the same level. And one tier down, I put Jacksonville. I think maybe Jacksonville can eventually get there. I just think that David Gerrard, he's going to maybe need a little more playoff seasoning before he can basically beat the Colts and the Pats. And depending on how the playoff schedule plays out, Jacksonville may have to beat one or both of those teams, or San Diego or a Pittsburgh squad. Jacksonville's going to have a tough road. So I don't know how it's all going to play out. I think I would have to probably still give the nod to the Pats, but I think the Colts are right there. The Pats defense can certainly be exploited. It's obvious they need more youth and speed at linebacker and maybe a little more complement at cornerback safety than they have. So they got their work cut out for them. So we shall see. Now, as far as the NBA regular season is concerned, we have the Christmas Day games going on right now. We got like Heat Cavs going on right now. I think the NBA's got some real problems. I think the regular season is pretty hard to watch. It has been for a while. And I suppose that's a little bit like baseball, where there's just so many games where you lose a certain level of interest. And I think with the Celtics, I definitely am enjoying watching them on a game-to-game basis. But if you're not really attached to, you know, a particular team, I think it can be hard to really get excited about regular season NBA basketball. And you could say the same about college sports, and you could say like college basketball, for example. I think their regular season has really lost its luster till towards the end in the conference tourneys. And I think to a similar degree, you can see that a little bit with baseball, though I think it's more of an issue with baseball where you just can't follow all the games the way maybe, you know, a few decades ago when there were less media distractions and maybe a simpler way of life, you could follow all the games, and you just can't do that anymore, I don't think most people. So, but here's where the difference is between the NBA and these other leagues. Major League Baseball and college basketball both have very compelling postseason formats, especially obviously March Madness can't really be topped in terms of suspense and storylines. Whereas the NBA playoffs, unfortunately, is not nearly as entertaining as it should be. And there are a lot of debates around that. I think making the first round series into a 7-game series was a big mistake. You can't really get any upsets in a 7-round series. So I guess you could argue last year that Cleveland over Detroit was a slight upset, but LeBron also took a couple of those games over. So, you know, you got this playoff format in the NBA. A lot of times you got these Western Conference teams that are beating up on each other and they don't even meet up in the finals. I think that those who have proposed that the NBA should do a 1-16 seed for the playoffs and do away with the Eastern Western Conference crowns, they're on the ball. And you know what? That's a radical reinvention of a league. But can you imagine how exciting that would be to really go 1 through 16 on that thing, mix the teams up from both conferences, you'd have some fantastic matchups. So it's not going to happen. So unfortunately, you know, it is what it is, but I think those are a lot of the reasons why the NBA isn't as compelling as it used to be. But having said that, as a Celtics fan, it's definitely enjoyable, though I do think Celtics are not as premier a team as some do right now, but they're going to be in the running. They're one of the best teams in the East. I think in some ways the Pistons are better. And they certainly proved it in their recent victory over the Celtics. I just thought the Pistons, despite Rashid's tendency towards meltdowns, the Pistons just had a little more composure down the stretch. That's just how it goes. They just seem to have a little more savvy. They had their heads in the game. The Celtics kind of lost their cool. And, you know, the NBA is all about matchups, right? And I think the Magic can give the Celtics a hard time. Here's the teams Celtics have a hard time with. They have a hard time with teams that have a big body in the middle. So the Magic with Dwight Howard, though I think the Magic are just a little too young. Or maybe the Spurs with Tim Duncan. No longer the Heat with Shaq, because Shaq just doesn't have it anymore the way he did. But fortunately for the Celtics, there aren't that many skilled big-bodied guys in the NBA. Like maybe Greg Oden will be that someday. Yao Ming's not really that type of player anyhow, plus he's in the Western Conference. But so the Celtics don't match up well with the big guys, but there's not that many of those. And I think the Celtics also would have problems with someone who played on a team where they really knew how to take over a game down the stretch, because the Celtics have these three great players, but I don't know if they have one player where you say, in crunch time, this guy's going to take over a game. And the thing is that that I think you do have that on, like, a Cleveland Cavaliers team. LeBron is still learning how to do that, but when they beat the Celtics this year, the Celtics just did not have any answers for LeBron when he started taking the game over. So I think those are the kinds of teams that they're going to solve some problems. Having said that, I think the emergence of Rajon Rondo and the solid bench play, it's put the Celtics in the elite team discussion, but I'd be pretty shocked if this particular Celtics team wins a championship this year. So that's my overall analysis of the week's activities. I was hoping to read you guys a blog entry this week, but I need to double check because I don't think I wrote a new one since the last one that I wrote about ESPN hiring a freeform jazz band to play live. I think that's the last blog entry I've written, so I read that 2 weeks ago, so that ain't happening tonight. You know, I have been criticizing in the show in the past this new trend towards giving everyone a voice. The worst of it is when ESPN actually prints comments from internet people on the telecast. I don't know whether they pick stupid comments. I think partially it's because they don't have much space to work with, so they have to print just a soundbite. But it makes people come off looking really stupid. And it's not that hard for sports fans to look stupid. And the reason is that to debate effectively, you have to have a perfect balance of emotional commitment and intellectual discipline. And so when you take a topic that is very emotional, like, say, politics or sports, and when you combine that with the fact that most Americans don't bother to learn both sides of the issues that they feel invested in, what you find is a combination of a lot of passion and not a lot of thought. And so it's not the fact that there's one right point of view, because there's not. There's number of points of views on most topics that you could make valid arguments for. But valid arguments have to be well thought and well supported, and they have to incorporate the opposing logical disagreement into the argument so that you can't immediately shoot it down. So, unfortunately, when you create an instant conversation culture, instead of encouraging people to actually inform themselves further about issues, you're encouraging them to basically sound off. Now, you could make the argument that they may learn something through the back and forth with others, but the problem is that because people are going after each other in that setting, everybody gets defensive. So if I make an argument that is sort of unbalanced, and then someone makes an opposing argument, but they also make fun of me in the process, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to be open to their point of view. So even if they have legitimate points, I'm not going to hear it. So with that in mind, I want to revisit a couple of these online conversations. ESPN is not the only website that does this, but you can see this on all kinds of sites. Even local papers do this now. And everyone wants to get their own usernames. You got these stupid usernames. So I thought I would read you some and just point out like why this is such a flawed approach. I'm not going to read out individual names because that's just not very important. I'm not here to mock individuals. I just don't like this forum and what they do with it. So let's see. Okay, so here's someone who says, Brady, in my book, came up short of Peyton's 49 TDs because Peyton did it in 15 games. Okay. That's one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. Records are not kept on 15-game seasons. I guess this guy's keeping his own 15-game record books at home. It's a 16-game season. Therefore, Tom Brady has one more game to equal or break Peyton Manning's record. If he does that, then he is the champion of that particular record. He is the record holder. There's no way to argue that. You can't just draw a line and say, well, because Brady didn't throw it in the 15, okay, well then Peyton Manning didn't throw any in the 16. That's so freaking stupid. Okay? Now, I do think, however, that you have to put a bit of an asterisk on the Randy Moss scenario, because with Randy Moss, he could tie or break Jerry Rice's 22 touchdown record. But the difference here is that Jerry Rice had three games less than the whole season to work with. So that's a whole different scenario. So, you know, Jerry Rice didn't have 16 games. He had 13. So I do think you have to have a little bit of an understanding when or if Moss ties or breaks Jerry Rice's record. What Rice did is a little more amazing. But this idiot who thinks you can just draw a line in 15 games for records in a 16-game season, that's unbelievably stupid. Then someone else says, the Pats being perfect in the regular season won't upset anyone. It's a shame they have tarnished their own greatness with their illegal spying. Okay, so far I guess you can go along with what this guy is saying. The Pats, what they did was illegal by NFL rules. I agree that it has, to some degree, tarnished how they will be perceived, exactly how much. I think history can be the judge to a degree. But so far, so good. But then this guy says they still need to win every game left in the season to be perfect like the Dolphins, except the Dolphins didn't cheat to do it. All right, well, but here's the thing. The Patriots didn't cheat this season, except in the first game against the Jets when they were busted in the beginning of the game and went on to roll over the Jets. I don't think anyone in their right minds could claim that the Pats won that game because of some defensive signals that were confiscated in a camera they never got a chance to watch. So that is dorky. Now, this person, obviously, what they want to be able to do is diminish what the Patriots are doing by throwing out the word cheat. Once you throw it out there, you can't really argue against it. It's an emotional word, and there it is. But it's a stupid argument this person's making, and they're just going to sit back and go ahead and take these pot shots. Everyone does it. That's what people do online. So you don't really see well-thought arguments at all. You see cheaters, haters, critics. See if there's anything else I want to read to you. Nobody likes the Pats because they win all the time and ESPN can't stop talking about them. Okay, that's another thing that people say. Well, ESPN talks about this or that. ESPN, and I'm not an ESPN lover, I'm always criticizing them. ESPN talks about what fans want to see. It's a ratings-driven network. If you don't want it, if you don't like it, don't watch it. Okay, then you have this whole discussion about Yankees and the luxury tax. So then there are all these people that are discussing the luxury tax. There's one guy who says something, I'm trying to find him, about the farm system. He said that the Yankees should take their money and invest in their farm system. They already did that. What do you think Philip Hughes is? What do you think Joba Chamberlain is? These guys are farm system products. That's where they came from. They changed their strategy a couple years ago, and it's starting to show fruition. So that's basically a Brian Cashman project, and they've got these great young players. So they are investing in the system. One of the misconceptions around this stuff is the idea that you can just grow your own if you don't have the money. Better money equals better farm system, all things being equal. This whole idea, people love to try to say that there's no competitive imbalance in baseball. They want to believe that it's a perfect system because money can't buy championships. Well, it's what we talked about. It's the last five free agents that were on the market signed with either the Sox or the Yankees. Yeah, you know, you can get a Colorado Rockies team here and there. But you got a problem in baseball with competitive balance. Here's someone who says, a salary cap could never work in Major League Baseball without ever explaining why. Yeah, whatever. So, without any background, without any discussion, just that. Anyway, lowest common denominator arguments taking place all over the internet right now. Having said that, I think some journalists do the same thing, and certainly some radio hosts as well, look for the incendiary topic and don't provide the context. So I'll probably go off on that a little more in other broadcasts. Well, I think that's going to do it for today's edition. There were just a couple things I wanted to hit on. I am going to try to return back to my usual Sunday 7 Eastern time zone time next week. Hopefully I'll have some new features and ideas for you by then. And maybe I'll get a couple callers on the line also. So hope you enjoy Christmas. Hope you get a lot out of your sports viewing in the next week, and look forward to real exciting NFL playoffs and maybe even a good college football game here and there. All right, I'll talk to you later. Take care.
Goodbye.